All right, well, welcome to another episode here on Renewed and Reminded, and today we have Gina. Gina is here with me, and we're going to share with you why our worship is real. We're going to minister to ourselves, but you'll be able to listen to catch the witnessing of the Holy Spirit, what we're going to talk about. Gina, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm good. And I would love for you to just quickly, not quickly, but I'm going to be quiet quickly, and please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Gina. The Lord has had on my heart for so many years. I remember 2013. I was running after work, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, what are you going to do with my life? I really didn't know what direction I was headed in. I was 28 years old. I thought working was my only part of life. I'm just going to work. I'm just going to waste my whole life just working 40 hours and traffic 2 hours one way, and I just felt exhausted, and I felt the Lord put in my heart, I'm going to have you minister to women. And at the time, I didn't know how that was going to happen. I thought, okay, I know how that's going to happen, because I'm also a personal trainer. I've been doing that for 20 years. Wow. And I've lost 100 pounds. So I've done it twice, sadly twice, but I learned the right way through having to go through that journey a second time. So I thought, okay, that's what you want me to do, Lord. You want me to quit my job and go pursue that full time. So at the time, I had gotten a couple more certifications, and I thought, okay, I'm going to pursue this and see where God takes this. And so that's what I did. I just quit what I was doing, and I had a pretty good job, but I really felt strongly about this, and God blessed it with clientele, the relationships. I wasn't popular because I had it all perfect. I was popular because people wanted to have the relationship. They wanted to connect, and they wanted to talk deeper about their lives, but I didn't connect that picture at that moment. But the companies I worked for were all terrible, and most personal training companies and gyms, they don't really treat their clients well. They don't treat their trainers well. And so I ended up finding out, okay, I want to help these people, but I don't want them to be taken advantage of, and I don't want to be taken advantage of. So one of the companies went under that I was working for, and then another one, they were stealing money from clients and from me, and it was just a whole bad thing. So I told my clients, do not, you know, do anything with this company, you know, move on to a different company. And God kind of put me in like a quiet place on the shelf where I did nothing for like a year. And I just thought, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to do? And I didn't get an answer. I just kept asking and praying and just crying out to God and didn't get an answer. But sometimes in that silence, God really speaks to you in profound ways when you're just quiet. Okay, God, I'm going to stop trying to do things. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you. And so I ended up getting another regular office job that I had in the past, and just kept praying, reading the word. Not to sidetrack too much, but I grew up in a church that was very legalistic, more on rules, regulations, and it wasn't focused on reading the Bible. So I was kind of in that moment of learning the word again that I didn't really understand when I was younger. I thought the word was just be good and don't disobey your parents and make sure the church is happy with you. But I didn't see what Christ did. I didn't realize what Christ did on the cross. I just thought it was a ticket to heaven. I didn't realize that when Christ died, he didn't just give me a ticket to heaven. He cleansed me. He restored me back to the Father. And he's empowering me through the Holy Spirit. But I didn't get that. I didn't understand that piece. And when I was working with those clients, I started to see that piece again, that connection that I didn't have when I was younger, watching the Spirit work. Because it was all about me. It was all about how good can I be. And so I kept trying to almost kind of go after my own glory. And that experience, when God didn't allow that personal training experience to go somewhere was kind of a humbling for me. He showed me like a glimpse, you know, just like a glimpse. Okay, this is what I can do, but you have to be ready. You have to be willing to let go of you and your performance and your ability to make people happy or healthy or encourage them in the word. You have to let that go because I'm going to work through you. You need to step aside. So wow. Think about, let me see, that would have been like 2.5 years when I left the personal training companies and I had that year of silence. I had another 2 years of just working again and questioning and asking. I remember right before I lost that job, I was sitting in my car just crying, like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to obey you. And I don't see it working. I don't see any fruit coming out of it. And then a couple weeks later, I walk into my job and they say, here's a severance package. Goodbye. I was like, okay, all right, that's interesting. And I thought, okay. So then I called my husband and I said, okay, you know, because I thought he was in a panic. And he's like, no, I think this is God's timing. I think this is your time to start pursuing really what God has for you. And it's not about the personal training as far as like a business. So then I started to just offer it as a ministry. I have a gym at my house. And I started to just talk to different ladies and say, bring people, let's do it. And then when I started seeing the ladies come, I started to engage with them on a spiritual level. Now, most of them were Christians. Some of them weren't, but trying to show them the connection between our hearts and the way we take care of ourselves, because that says a lot about us. Why I had a problem with my weight for so long had to do with a heart issue that I had to deal with. I felt so insecure about myself that I kept myself hidden, I guess you can say, under the weight. I hid myself because I was so afraid of people. And that just started this avalanche of ladies coming, and then it started into discipleship.
Wow.
And yeah, it was wonderful. And then COVID happened. And that just, you know, I was just like, okay. And so I sat back for a year after COVID. And I still talked with people, but I stopped the training and all that. And in California, it was pretty strict as far as what you could and couldn't do. And so, yeah, I just started praying again. I just kind of felt like God put me back on the shelf. Like, okay, here's the next step. But I got to do more with you. So let me put you away to read my word and trust me, and then I'm going to bring the next phase of this. Mm-hmm. So it's like a journey, you know. It's a step one was, okay, personal training. Well, that didn't go anywhere. And then step two was, okay, I'm going to bring people to your house and you're going to minister to them, not just on the physical level, but the spiritual level. Okay, now I'm going to put you back on the shelf. And now phase three. And so that's kind of where I'm at now, is that phase three. And phase three is definitely out of my comfort zone. I don't like putting myself out there. I'd rather just, you know, be in my little house and just have people come that I kind of know and just not really, you know, make waves. So I felt the Lord saying, you know what, I want you to build a website. And I said, okay, I don't know how to do that, but all right. And so he actually brought me a wonderful lady I've been working with who's helped me build a website. And what I've done is developed a discipling ministry for women to bring them out of this place of perfectionistic religion, where their focus is being good, their focus is how many good things can I do for God, or how good can I be before the church, and that's really missing the point. And the point that I missed when I was growing up was exactly that. I thought it was all about me when it was all about God. Ooh. And then when I made that change, that's when my life changed. That's when I kept going around the same mountain. It was first the the food, and then it turned into shopping when I lost the weight, and then I gained the weight back, and then I went back to shopping, and it just kept going around and around and around, and I couldn't figure it out. And the focus was get it off of you and get it onto me. And that was really the mission that I have for women, is let's take the focus off of us and let's put it back on Christ. And I was reading something today that was really impactful, that just said, okay, I need to write a blog on this. But it said, we need more Marys rather than Marthas. There's a lot of Marthas out there. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and that's all good. But how many of us are Marys sitting at the feet of Jesus? Right. How many of us are doing that? And that's what I want to bring to women. God will change you. He can do. I've seen miracles happen. I think the way I used to live and how I live now is God completely. Yeah. His miracle working power. And I know he doesn't promise anything to one person and not offer it to someone else. If someone wants to be changed, God will change them. They don't need to sit back and say, well, it's not for me. Yeah, it is for you.
Right.
But it's going to require you to relax and turn your attention and be that Mary to sit at his feet. So that's the whole purpose of this website, is to take women away from, there's a lot of great studies out there, but I feel a lot of them, you'll get to the application and they basically just want you to write down what you're going to do, which is good. But how much of that doing is focusing on Jesus, on letting him change us, rather than running out there? I feel overwhelmed when I read certain Bible studies, because I see like 30 applications, and I'm thinking, how are people doing this? There's no way. They might pick one application to do, but they feel so overwhelmed with that. And I think that's not really the point. It's not how many applications can we figure out in one Bible study, but how can we actually learn how to turn our attention to Jesus and let him change us, rather than trying to change ourselves, because it never works. And I see a lot of women living underneath that burden.
No, yeah.
And I see friends that don't want to seek help or counsel because they're so afraid. They're so afraid that if they go get counsel, they're going to be beat over the head and said, you're just failing at everything. And it just breaks my heart, because the Lord isn't able to work with that when we're not willing to turn to him. He's not going to work in that space, because he can't, well, he can work any way he wants. But what I'm saying is, when we're resistant, he just kind of said, okay, I'm waiting. Right. I'm waiting for you to stop figuring it out. And so that's what I'm bringing to women. I want them to be set free. This is, I think, almost a cancer in the church. And I don't think it's deliberate. I think the people I was taught by were well-meaning, and they loved God, and they did what they knew was best. But they didn't have all the information to show me what it meant to follow Christ. Mm. And that was to stop trying to play this game of, how many good check marks could I put on my calendar today?
No, yeah.
So that's where I'm at. That's where my heart is. And we'll see if it turns back into fitness. That's still kind of on the back burner. But I think what's most important is helping women break free. Break free of this religiosity and allow God to work in them and allow them to see the truth of the gospel, because it's a gospel of grace.
Yes.
God, it's the gospel of grace. When we receive Christ's grace and we let him change us, he will change us, and it will be way better than anything we could ever accomplish.
Exactly. No, I thank you for bringing in so many different points. I got so many right here. The one about how you had to in a way almost accept his adjustment, that he is changing, and being, and that's a form of worship, being submissive to God's sovereignness, That's worship, because he gives us ability to choose. So if I choose, like you said, to be resistant or to be acceptable, to make myself a living sacrifice, that comes with a turn. And that means that I don't get to press the button on my switch over here, boop, and then it turns like automatic. No, it takes me to take my 2 feet and change the direction of where I'm going. It takes for me to change my mindset. It takes for me to get into his word more. It takes for me that even though I all of a sudden just got sleepy when I picked up the Bible, to fight through this. And it's the devotion that I said, oh yeah, I wrote down I'm going to get up at 6:30. It's 7:30. It's 8:30. And instead of saying, oh, I missed the time, take the time now and fight the enemy at what he does best, which is persistently keep you from worship. That's what he does. He does that. He's good at telling you, don't recognize your cycle. Don't recognize you lost the weight. Don't recognize that you went shopping. Just do it again. Nothing wrong with that. You like it. You just pay attention. But it's time to be free. And how do we get there? The first step is saying, I want to be there. I really want God in my life. I want God to be the main thing that I'm not looking for a blessing that someone can take from me. Like, if I get God, I'm good. No matter if my hands are done, my feet are done, my new clothes. I mean, I'm good. I'm on a solid foundation. That doesn't mean that things won't happen. That means that in my soul, I'm anchored now. And I have to keep pursuing him, and everything else will be revealed in due time. There will be phases. I'm so glad that you shared that God was in every single phase. This is phase 3, but he's in the phase with you. He's not, there you go over there, Gina. No, he's like, okay, so we made a podcast I think it was last year, maybe around September, and we were talking about perversion, how we need to be honest and how perversion is such a thing that people who are kingdom people don't want to touch certain things on topics because it's uncomfortable. Well, it's either uncomfortable or hell. Which one do you want to do? Uncomfortable, sign me up. Because that's really where we are. And the thing was that God had gave me the opportunity to really see with God's protection is like an onion. Like his grace is like an, like every, there's a layer that when we are so just whatever, he is constantly looking at, I want you to peel this layer down. And then what the enemy does, he tries to keep you, you know how when you get an onion, it's got all this stuff on it and it's dirty. This outer layer, this onion's bad. But you haven't even started working on this onion. But anybody knows, you cut an onion, you start crying, you start, unless you got to get some glasses or whatever, you know, depending on who it is. But it's like, how are the simple things in life, the onion, and I use the pomegranate. I was telling someone in the podcast that, a pomegranate is so, just look at a pomegranate. It's very vibrant, and if worship is like worship to me is like a pomegranate. I can say that I'm just flamboyant, boom, 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 see me. But if I don't let the seeds inside this pomegranate get into the right soil, all I have is one pomegranate versus all of the, there's so many seeds in a pomegranate and they're just as colorful as the outside. But given to the right, like giving this to God, giving this to worship, giving my phase and keeping my focus is like I'm putting myself in a soil and I'm waiting and I'm checking and I'm nourishing. When I harvest, wait a minute, because now I'm going to harvest and only do what? Plant more seeds. And that's where you're at. I'm planting more seeds again. And that's a form of worship. Reaching out, going outside of our comfort zone, admitting that is a form of worship. Because God is like, I tell my son all the time, we have this expanded form thing that you got to learn in math. It's like a rubber band. I'm like, think about this, son. God will literally grow you up and he'll stretch you like a rubber band only to bring you back to him. And he's like, what? I'm like, yep. Now, it will be easy to do this with this rubber band. Now, for you and your understanding, that's completely different. And that's why you got to have more God in you, because then more of him means more of your stretching. Less of him means you don't know how to do it. It's the resistant bands. You know, you put them on your thighs, you swole, you know. But if you get a regular, a lighter band that knows, okay, I have the capacity to go this far because I am made with this material, because it's in me, well, why can't it be that simple for us to just come to God and worship? We do it. Netflix did it. I had a quick sermon about Netflix, about how consistency is Netflix. The $17, these people are faithful. And they are benefiting from even the fact that you don't even check that. You don't even look at it. If that can be on autopilot, what can we worshipers do when we get the right stuff in our hands? What can we do when you develop, God is getting the website, God is bringing women, God, on autopilot? The podcast, it's international. And I was saying, I had to come up with an idea that, God, I don't want people to see me anymore. I just want them to see you, hear you, know you. So I tell people when they see that and they be like, oh, you know, I listen. I'm like, look, I was developed in a place of inconsistency. That's how I'm so consistent now. Like, in the midst of my storm, I'm telling my storm, I can literally laugh at you because you won't laugh. You won't last this long. So I can laugh now. And I'm confident in God because of what I've seen him do before. And how he kept his word. And he's going to keep his word because he's God. So now I'm just sitting back. I'm like, yeah, my worship is real. How many people know that their worship is real now? Because nothing in this world could do that. There's absolutely nothing that could take the grace away from us. When we go and get God, it's us that change. But he never changes. Never. I've never seen him change. I'm so glad that you joined me today. And I would love for you to close the podcast and be able to tell a listener, what does it mean to be in that phase? And focus, like, you know, really focus in on not the problem, not what I don't know, but what I do know, and how do I know more? And like, to get to know more, I need to focus on worshiping him and hearing him. Or if it's just listening, being still, and accepting.
Yeah.
You know, well, encourage him.
Yeah, you know, sister, whatever you're facing right now, I don't know if any of what we talked about is your story. Maybe there's some parts of it, or maybe you have some things that are different, and you're thinking, well, but how do my things fit with what you guys just said? And my encouragement to you is to, if you're not currently in a church, I would just encourage you to seek that out. Seek a community of believers that can come alongside you and encourage you. That's something that I did not have growing up, and that's one reason I'm doing what I'm doing, is I want to see people, see women especially, get in community with one another and encourage one another. And so that's the first thing I want to encourage you with. And the second thing would be to not give up, because I've been in so many lulls in life thinking, okay, God is done with me. He's got no more purpose for my life. I'm just sitting here and, you know, I'm just some random person that doesn't have any significance. But God has us here. If you have breath, you have a purpose with Amen. God. Even when you feel life is against you, maybe you are in dire straits. Maybe you don't know where your next paycheck is going to come from. Maybe you've already been given an eviction notice and you don't know who's going to take you in. You know, sister, don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking God has left you and he is done with you. There is nothing that has happened in your life that you are too broken, too far gone, or you've messed up too much for God to reach his hand out. He's reaching his hand out to you, sister. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, is to not give up even when life feels like a burden. The burden of trying to be good enough, or the burden of trying to answer the problems that you're facing, is, I think about Matthew 11:28, I think it's through 30. And Jesus says that, come to me, those of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, and I will give you rest for your soul. And I forgot the last part, but I think you get the picture, is the burden that Jesus carried to the cross was your burden of sin. Mm. And he took that and he paid the penalty for your sin. And he gave you a new yoke.
Amen.
And that is a yoke that is grace and love. He is going to empower you with his Holy Spirit. But the first step is that we take that yoke off. And so whatever yoke you're carrying, that's my biggest encouragement, is to not forget. God has not forgotten you. Take off that yoke and allow him to work for you through the power of the Holy Spirit, and get into a church, get into a community of sisters and brothers that can encourage you in the faith.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
I am so
excited for what God is going to do about setting people free. And with that clear direction, I mean, it is going to take you guys moving by faith. But again, Gina, I thank you for joining me today, and you are more than welcome to come back to the podcast anytime.
Oh, sounds great. Thanks, Juanita.
Thank you.